When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. This woman, who was labeled unable to conceive, is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God." Then Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is the word of God.
Okay, I'm going to reveal my age now, sort of. How many of you, I'm old enough to remember back when, at this time of year, if you were a kid, you would wait by the mailbox for something to come in the mail that was really important, and it signaled that for sure the season of Christmas had really come. It was about this big, it was pretty heavy. That's right, it was this year's catalog, otherwise known as, anybody remember? The Wish Book. Oh man, the Wish Book. Yeah, the Wish Book would come. And in that Wish Book, man, it was just page after page after page after page of possibilities, right? Things that we could give or get, especially get, as gifts, right? And it was an amazing thing. There was a whole section at the end was just for toys. Man, that wish book would come, my brothers and I, we'd rip the brown paper off it right away, and then we'd get the thickest black marker that we could find. And then we would start circling all the stuff that we wanted for Christmas. Some of it we didn't even know we wanted until the wish book came. That's how wonderful it was. We would circle all those things, and then we would cut them out, cut out the pictures, and paste them on our letter to Santa with the catalog numbers, just so there's no confusion. And then we would wait with joyful anticipation to see what it was we were going to receive. What it was we were going to receive. Now, we knew we weren't going to get everything that we pasted on that list. But boy, I tell you, the wish book, it raised the level of possibilities, you know, raised our expectations of what was possible at Christmas. The wish book, the lights that would start to appear on the houses around us, the tree that would appear in our front room, the carols we would hear on the radio, all those things together. Christmas itself sort of begins to engender in us this idea that all things are possible, that something new could happen, that the inconceivable can become conceivable. And why not, right? Look at the story that Christmas is founded on. Look at the story of Christmas. the inconceivable becoming conceivable. And you know that that's what Mary discovered on that first Christmas, that year leading up to that first Christmas. I mean, Mary was an ordinary person. She was an ordinary girl. There's nothing to indicate that she was extraordinarily holy or extraordinarily churchy or anything like that. She was an ordinary girl doing the ordinary things that a girl did in the first century in that region of Palestine. Her whole world would have been centered around chores, work that supported the family, supported the community, you know, fetching water, tending livestock, cooking, cleaning, mending, tending children, just doing the normal things, the everyday things. And she was young, too. They figure she was anywhere between 12 and 14 years old, Mary was. That's about the typical age that a young woman was promised to a young man in marriage, and Mary was promised already to be married. So she's young, she's ordinary, and she's going through her ordinary days. Her expectations of what was possible in her life were pretty much set up, right? Betrothal, marriage, children, tending the children, tending the livestock, cooking, cleaning, loving, laughing a little, crying sometimes. And dying and leaving all of that to the next generation. It was all planned out. But then one day she's going along, doing her thing, doing her ordinary day, and all of her expectations, everything that she saw in her future, everything that was coming down the road that she knew was coming down the road has exploded. It's changed because God enters into her life. God enters into her life in a powerful way. Offers a miraculous opportunity. And Mary overcomes her fear, overcomes her confusion, overcomes her trepidation, and embraces what God has for her. And nothing is the same again. Nothing is the same again for her or even for us. That's what Christmas is about. That's what the season of Advent is about. Looking for those places in our lives too. Looking for those places, those little miracles, big and small, where God may be calling us into something new and embracing what He has for us. That's the beauty of Christmas. That's the beauty of Advent. Well, for Mary, man, it was something else. It was some day, right? She's going along her day, and all of a sudden, an angel, a real angel, appears before her. Now listen, if this angel looked anything like the way they're described in the Bible, he had, you know, male features. He was as tall as a regular person, but glowing like white, like glowing translucent, like hard to look at. Like the sun, like staring at the sun. If that was the way that apparition looked before Mary, she must have been scared out of her wits, right? She must have been shaken, shaken to her core. And then this apparition, this thing before her, speaks to her. And says, "Rejoice, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Now the Bible, in its usual, you know, understatement, says that Mary was troubled with this. To which I say, yeah, you think? She must have been scared. And we know she was scared because the very next thing that's recorded that the angel says is what? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And it would appear that, you know, at that moment, when she heard that, do not be afraid, a great peace came over her. Peace enough that at least she didn't run away. And you know, that's a great mercy of God. Have you ever had that experience where you've been shaken to the core, where you are in a moment of crisis and that great peace comes upon you? It's a great mercy of God. The other day in our Advent study, that was one of the questions. Have you ever been shaken to the core? Have you ever had your expectations upended in such a way that you were shaken unexpectedly to the core? And in that moment, how did you experience God? How did you experience God? In our study, we went around, we collected stories, and we shared them. And it really was amazing how many of those stories of people being shaken in a moment of crisis, how many of those stories ended with, "But then I felt an inexplicable peace." One who was with us told the story of how unexpectedly he was shaken to the core when he had a heart attack on an airplane. And he said that even though everybody around him was panicking and was running around trying to figure out what to do, how they were going to save him, what could they do? He felt, he sensed, he heard God speaking into him saying, "You are going to be okay. No matter what the outcome," and believe me, this was serious. This could have been a serious outcome. But he felt it, no matter what the outcome. "You're going to be okay." Now this person said, you know, he always loved God. He always felt like he trusted God. But you know, he didn't really until that moment. Then he really trusted God. He really trusted him then. But that's a mercy of God. That even when our expectations are upended, that maybe something is revealing itself that we need to take a step into, that maybe we need to take a little leap into, God will be there to give us that peace and that steadiness. Maybe help us not to run away from what it is he's calling us to do. Well, Mary had that peace. Mary had that peace. But that peace transitioned very quickly to confusion, didn't it? Because as she's standing there all peaceful, like, you know, and listening to the angel says, tells her what God's plans are for her. "You're going to conceive. You're going to be," in fact, you could read it, "you are pregnant with a child. And this child will be called Jesus," which means Savior. "This child will be called Son of the Most High," which means Son of God. And all of that must have sounded really great, but I just bet that was kind of echoing like white noise to Mary, because I'll bet you she stopped listening after he said conceived. So what? It's inconceivable that I can conceive, right? That's leaving out a very, very big step between pregnant and unpregnant, you know, a step that she didn't want to take. "How can this be?" She says, "How can this be?" Well, poor Mary, this is where it gets really dicey, because, you know, the angel answers a story of a miracle with another story of a miracle. He says, "Well, here's how it's going to be. The Holy Spirit is going to come over you. And you know, the divine will of God, who created all things, is going to unite with your humanity. And the product of that union is going to be this child, who will be conceived as no other had ever been conceived and will have a life unlike any other life lived before or ever will again. And with that, I'm sure Mary said, oh, I get it. You know, at that point, this is where God's mercy really came in the messenger, I think. You know, it's merciful that this message was delivered to Mary by an angel. Because how else could you believe it? How else could you wrap your mind around it? But to have a messenger from God who gives you confidence, who gave her confidence that indeed God was in this. And I think too that having that angel right before her telling her this amazing story would have helped her connect what was happening to her to what had happened to so many before her in her tradition. Looking back over the stories of Scripture. Looking back over other times when God had inserted himself into the story of humanity. Where God took his people out of slavery in Egypt, remember? And how did he lead them? As a pillar of fire and cloud. Where God had spoken to Joshua and told him to do what seemed to be impossible in order to bring those walls of Jericho down. Surely as she stood before the angel and heard the angel give her this incredible story of miracle, those stories must have echoed in her mind. Those stories from her tradition that could give her confidence that indeed she was part of that story. That indeed she could believe this. But then, you know, that question, how can this be, was really a two-level question. Sure, it was, how can this life be inside me? But it had to also be, how can I live with this life? How can I survive this? You see what I'm getting at? There was no good that could come to a girl in her world pregnant without a husband. There's no good could come in that. It could only mean shame and dishonor to her family in a culture where shame and dishonor were huge deals. It wasn't like today where, you know, on TV, if you have the craziest family, you get the highest rating. It meant that her husband would reject her. It most likely meant that she would be ostracized from her community that she loved, maybe even ostracized from her own family. So when she says, how can this be? It may have been easier to accept the miracle side than the practical side. How will I be with this? It's an existential question. How will I survive it? Well, God's mercy had brought her from fear to peace. It had brought her from confusion to confidence. Now God's mercy needed to bring her from this trepidation of the future towards being to really being able to grab on to what God was asking her to do. And the way he did it was to point her in the direction of another person. Another person to whom she could cleave in her moment of crisis, cleave in this moment of expectations upended. And that was Elizabeth. In Elizabeth, another miracle had happened. Elizabeth, Mary's relative, had been barren all of her life. She and her husband Zechariah had tried and tried to have children. Now they were well along in years. Some people think that Elizabeth was anywhere from 45 to 60 years old when this happened. So while her baby inside her was not conceived by the Holy Spirit, it was a miracle in and of itself. And a miracle that Mary could grab onto, a person associated with a miracle that she could grab onto for support, for protection. One person who would know beyond all doubt that what Mary was saying was true. And sometimes we need that too. When we're venturing into something new, when our expectations are upended, when God is asking us to maybe go out and venture into a new place, sometimes we need people around us just to give us that confidence, just to be that sounding board, just to say, yes, it's doable. It's doable. You know, Nancy and I had our son, John. We were older than many couples when we had our first child. I mean, I was practically 38, and Nancy was, she was substantially younger. She was in her teens, I think. But still, for us, you know, even starting a family at all was kind of going out on a limb. But a mere 18 months after John was born, we discovered that God had given us our daughter, Alice. We were not ready for that. We were not ready for that. That is not what we expected. That was not the script that we had written. But it was the one that God had written. I mean, our house wasn't big enough. You know, our finances weren't solid enough. Nothing was really enough. But it was really amazing, the mercy of God, that he helped us to trust that it would be okay. And as we did, the joy of this unanticipated life really overwhelmed any doubts that we had. And we were also provided with examples around us of people in our family and people around who had also gone through a similar experience and were able to get through it. And now, I mean, what a miracle. What a miracle she has been. God in his mercy, you know, he brings us from fear to peace, from confusion to confidence, from trepidation about the future to a willingness to really embrace with joyful anticipation what he may be asking us to do, what he may have for us. That's certainly what happened with Mary. For Mary, that life grew inside her. That life grew to become Jesus, the Savior. The one who would come in his divinity and in his humanity. The one who could relate to all of us in our humanity, but also touch that part of us that longs for divinity, that longs to be one with God. Jesus is both of those things. And it was all because Mary said, I'll do it. My expectations have been upended in a serious way. But Lord, I trust you. I'll go with this. The inconceivable can become conceivable. That's what Christmas is, you know, my friends. That's what it's all about. That's what Advent is really all about. During this season of Advent, you know, we're going to be pulled so hard towards the catalog version of Christmas. We're going to be pulled hard into the shopping and the wrapping and the pleasing, all those things that begin to exhaust us. But you know, the Holy Spirit is going to be calling us also. The Holy Spirit's going to be calling us to look around and see miracles around us, big and small, like that one right back there, that little boy is awesome. The things that really, really say to us, God is with us. Those little ways that God is asking us to open ourselves up to having our expectations overturned, upended, and see what he has for us that is new. It may mean that God's calling us to embrace a new relationship or mend some old ones this Christmas. It may mean that God is conceiving in us a call to change,
to turn, to repent, to come away from behaviors and ways of being that maybe aren't so lined up with what we know God wants for us. He may be conceiving in us a call to see those obstacles that have been in our way, to see the obstacles that have been in our way, the obstacles to our really living the way God wants us to live by His purpose and moving those things out of the way. A call to move. He may be conceiving in us a call to look around at what needs to be done in our families, what needs to be done in our communities, what needs to be done even in this church. And you know what? Do it. Do it. Even if it seems a little scary, even if it seems a little confusing, even if it seems like it's a little dangerous, do it. That's the beauty of Christmas. That's the beauty of our Lord who was born on that day. The one who calls us to new expectations, new things, and you know, calls us to transformation. As we go forward into this Advent season, I hope we kind of just hold on to that and look at those things. Look at the fact that with God, all things are possible. And this story of Mary proves it to us year after year after year after year. The more seriously we look into it, the more that proves to us, yes, God is in the world, and yes, all things are possible with Him. Things we thought are undoable are doable. Things that we think are unmovable are movable. Things we think that are unchangeable are changeable. And things we think are inconceivable are conceivable with God. Now, at Christmas, and every day of the year. Let us pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this season of Christmas, this yearly reminder of the miracles that You have brought into our life, that You insert Yourself into our human life, into our everyday, into our ordinary. Help us, O God, to see You in those places and to embrace You and to follow You into new things, those places that You call us to. Help us, O God, to remember that in You all things are possible. In You the inconceivable is conceivable. And bless us, O God, as we boldly go forward with You. In Jesus' name, amen.